succession number 27079, reel 7.
Mr. Shaw, reel 7. So it, men had been lost at the time of the explosion, and then there was the two was it, that ran for the boat, and they went over with the boat.
Yeah.
And were they the only casualties so far that you know?
They were the only casualties, yes. Except for one or two, I think, that got burns on their hands with the fire extinguisher and that. But nothing serious.
So there was no panic at all, presumably?
No, there was no panic. We just continued on. We did.
What was the next memory that you have?
They got the engine started and we started zigzagging along, which wasn't too bad until darkness came. And of course you rely on something like a star or something like that, which wasn't... It's all right if you can see it, so you could steer off a star with the ship's wheel amidships, but you couldn't see anything where the emergency steering wheel was. So we were in a bit of a quandary then. That's when the destroyer hove up on us, the Ledbury, and said, "Do you want any assistance?" And we said, "No, we're steaming all right, but we've got no compasses. All the gyro and the magnetic compasses all been knocked out. They were no good. We couldn't steer by them." And the Ledbury rigged a blue light up on her stern, and she went on ahead of us, and we were guided by that. She guided us through the minefields.
Had you, after being hit and you were struggling with the fire, were you still under air track? Were they still trying to bomb you?
No, I think it was later there was bombers. Mm. It was after the submarine attack. Later there was bombers came over.
So you now got through the night where you were damaged, but you were being guided through the minefields, as you say.
Uh-huh.
What happened the next day, next morning?
Well, we were fortunate going through the minefields astern of the Ledbury, because the main body of the convoy was way ahead of us. We'd been stopped for a couple of hours, so we were out of sight. And they'd been attacked by all the E-boats and torpedo boats and what have you in the Narrows. And they'd been badly beaten up. There was one or two sunk and ships ablaze. And when we got to where they had been, there was no E-boats or anything. And we just followed the Ledbury in the dark.
So you'd been held up for 2 hours in that station?
We'd been stopped while we were putting the fire out. We was...
Must have been pretty hairy, thinking that, goodness, we were sitting
well,
tired here.
Well, everybody went and left you. but there was no commotion, you know. We were just on our own, and that was it.
You didn't kind of wave them out of sight, did
you? Oh, you hadn't time.
No, you were pretty busy at the time.
Pretty busy at the time, yes. You see the odd destroyer going past in the distance, like, but it was the, when darkness came, the Ledbury guided us through, so, like I say, we missed all the rubbish in the Narrows, and we were lucky that way, because if we'd have been there, we'd have probably gone as well.
So what happened to you next, then?
We eventually caught it with a convoy. We nearly reached full speed again. The reckon she was doing about 16 knots. Of course, it was all right in daylight. As soon as you've got a ship ahead, you can steer a lot better than you could by the blue light. And the Ledbury and us caught up with a convoy, and we took station behind the column we came up to, you know.
And were things quiet at this time, or were you still under
Things attack? Were still quiet then. Yes, it was later on the raid started again.
So what happened then? You've caught up with the convoy. What was the next incident?
Air raid.
Were they more fierce than the ones that you'd had before, prior to this?
Oh, yes. Yes. Stukas by the dozens. The sky seemed to be black with them. The trouble is they didn't come from one direction. They came from ahead, port, starboard. They came from here from astern. Didn't matter which way you pointed a gun, you could pull the trigger. There was somewhat in your sights.
And your gun crews would be working flat out?
Oh, flat out.
And were you still loading the
loading? Yes, whoever put the ammunition aboard is gauged it pretty right.
You must have been feeling a little bit tired and exhausted going through all this. Very physical.
Yes, there was times I think time passed you by and you did things automatically. You were tired. You were tired. When the bomb started near missing you, you were wet. You were hungry.
I see, you wouldn't have time for meals.
You wouldn't, not sitting down for a meal. You could go and snatch a bite here and there and grab a mug of coffee and run out on the deck with it again, but I don't think we ever finished one.
Did you know that, had your gun crews ever shot anyone down? Did they have any successes?
Well, planes kept going down and there was that many firing at them, you couldn't really tell, there was a plane would go overhead and you would see your gun's traces going into the plane, but it still flew on. Whether it came down later or not, you never knew. There was that much happening.
What about the sounds that were going on around you?
You were numb with the sound. It was deafening. And then the explosion of the bombs beside you, the near misses, where a few times she seemed to be lifted up out of the water. The deck was shuddering and you felt the blast as well off the bombs. You could feel,
the 3 feet.
The whoosh. Pardon?
Through your feet you could...
Yeah, you could feel it bodily sometimes. Very near misses. We had quite a few near misses. You can see them coming down and they go in the water and there's a big whoosh, it.
You could actually see a bomb...
Oh, yes, you can see them coming down.
And as you said, you couldn't take action to evade those. You were still in the zigzag convoy.
There's no back door. No, you had to stick to your station.
There must have been, by this time, you must have experienced quite a lot of bombs around you.
Oh, hundreds. You lost count of them. You could count them when you first started, but in the end it was... Sometimes they were coming down like rain. Yes, they were splattered all over.
Had the aircraft carriers been able to give any defence at this time, or were they just being overwhelmed?
Yes, well, they were overwhelmed in a way because they'd lost the Eagle and they'd lost some of the planes. There's a few of them landed on another carrier, I think. But there was planes coming from all directions. They seemed to be getting through. The water was constantly what. White, it was a bit like that.
You wouldn't have much time really to see what was going on around you anyway.
You didn't have a great deal of time, no. And just now and again when you look around you saw things happening, If you heard somebody getting bombed or a big explosion, you had to glance round, but then you were that busy you had to glance away again, You didn't know which ship was exactly going up at what time. You knew there was a ship going up, but you couldn't tell which one it was.
And did it enter your mind when you saw this happening that you could be next to?
Oh, I was... Yes, it was on your mind then. Like I said before, it was us or them, They wanted us, we wanted them. Yes, we had miraculous escape.
Was everyone in the crew and the officers, doing their duty, you might say, or their job?
Everybody.
Nobody panicked, or?
Oh, no, no, you hadn't time to panic, you hadn't. You've got no room for panic.
And you couldn't go anywhere anyway.
You couldn't go anywhere. Like I said, there was no back door. You're there and you're stuck with it.
So that, I think we're into the third day now. I mean, it's and it's bombing raids now that you're beginning to get.
Yeah.
What happened next then? Is there still a way to go?
It was continual till darkness, that. It continued the rest of the day after we caught up with the convoy.
And were you hit at all at anywhere?
No, we were near misses. Near misses.
Did they cause any damage in a near miss?
they did put some. It was the 13th. It was the 13th when a bomb blast was blamed for blowing the fires out. The first time, and they got them relit again. I don't know if it had been a near miss. Probably a near miss that lifted it up out of the water, it woofed the fires out. And they got them started again.
When you say they got them started again?
The engineers. The engineers in the down the engine room. They got them started again, and we kept on steaming.
Sorry, that it wasn't that they got the fire started again, they got the engine started again.
Well, they got the fires in the boilers.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. She was a steam turbine, and they got them going again. And was it the 13th? Yes, it was. It must have been the first 13th when the engines did stop altogether. And yes, there was a bomb went down the engine room and blew all the fires out. And that was the bomb that blew the ventilator cover off the engine room and hit the gunner on the Beaufort gun platform, Gunner Brown. And that stopped the engines and we couldn't get them started again.
Men being killed and wounded? With
no, there was nobody killed. Gunner Brown was injured. Gunner Brown was injured. I don't know how badly he was injured, but he was injured, and he couldn't move, he couldn't walk. And after the engine stopped and we couldn't do anything, HMS Penn came up and said, well, if there's nothing you can do, why don't you come aboard our ship for a couple of hours and a rest, because you're just a sitting duck there, you can't do anything. And we took Gunner Brown aboard the Penn, and we went onto the Penn. We went on a motor launch from the Ohio to the Penn, an ML. Half of the crew, and the other half of the crew went on, I think it was number 20 motor launch, but she developed engine trouble and she had to go back into Malta. So we lost half of our crew. And during the night, we went back aboard the Ohio and tried to fasten her to the Penn to tow her.
Was she sinking?
She was well down in the water. She's a freeboard was only about half of what it should have been. She probably only have about 2 foot of freeboard.
So when you transferred to the Penn, as you say, for a rest of 2 hours, was it also the thought that the boat might go down? She might go down with
no. It was just because we couldn't do anything, you know. And they said, come aboard, and you can. You can have a rest and a cup of tea sort of thing. And
the intention of going back?
We'll go back later on and see what we can do about towing. So half the crew went into Malta and we went aboard the Penn. And the next morning, no, before the next morning, it was about midnight, I think, we went back aboard. I think it was then that the Brahman came up. And we tied them both to the Ohio, and they started trying to tow her, but she just swung around in a circle, because apparently the rudder was jammed, and there was a big lump of plating on the port side where the torpedo had hit, and it was acting like a rudder, causing it to swing around the port all the time. She would move, you could move her, but they were moving around in a circle.
What were you doing in these moments?
Handling wire ropes, tying the Penn and the Brahman up alongside the Ohio. Because on the Ohio, on any ship, there's bollards all the way along the ship. There's bollards up on the forecastle head, on the poop. But they've also got them down on the main deck. When you're mooring a ship, you tie your springs and your mooring ropes to them. So that's what we used. With miles of wire and whatever.
So these two vessels were in effect keeping you afloat and moving you?
No, they were keeping us moving. She was still afloat. The skipper had the tanks sounded, and all the tanks were dry. So she was still floating, but she was very low in the water.
Had you lost a lot of your oil then?
We'd lost a lot of kerosene.
But you still had some, presumably.
Oh, we must have had some left because they took it out when we got to Malta, so...
But you'd lost the quality of it.
Oh, we'd lost the quantity of it, yes. Aye. Yes, we'd lost a fair bit.
And this was a series of cables, as you say, that were fastened to the destroyers, were they?
Yes, we were just crisscrossing the wires and lashing them as best we could. It's more or less tying two ships, you know, one each side. You tie them as tight as you can, and when they go ahead, she moves. But like I say, she was just going round in circles, so that was abandoned. The next morning, during the night, of course, Gunnar Brown had died, and we buried him the next morning off the stern of the HMS Penn.
What kind of a ceremony had you? What time had you for a ceremony?
Oh, he hadn't much time for a ceremony. It's quick, you know. He was lying there, and the skipper says, "I've been out the Bible and a prayer, and he's gone."
Yes. That has been obviously affected, a moment that affected you all.
Yes, it was sad because it was the first casualty we'd had. Apart from that, we'd only had people blown over the side and burns and scratches, but nothing serious. Matter of fact, it was some hours before some of the lads got to know that he'd been injured. You know, things were that busy.
But, so you're into the morning now, and you've got these two vessels tied to you.
Yes.
What happens next?
We went back aboard and started towing again.
Who was towing you?
The Penn, the Brahman, and... the Ledbury was acting as a steerage aft.
So there were two at the side of you?
Two at the side of you and one hanging on the stern. And he swings from side to side
to counter-effect
the swing of the ship. And, of course, every time there's an air raid, you had to let go of the ships and let him go. Because you were too big a tie, all tied together.
So all three...
So they just went away. 9 times out of 10, they just put their engines full ahead, which smashed every wire in sight and buggered off and left you. And all you could do was throw the wires over the side, they were all broke.
And did this happen to you? Well, obviously...
It happened about 3 times, and breaking away and having to make them fast again. It was tireless, endless.
Tremendously physical, energy-draining tasks.
Well, it was, because you've got to try and get all the wires that they're towing with all the same tension Otherwise, you'll have all the weight on one wire, and if that happens to go a bit too fast, it'll break it, and then they'll break the next one and the next one. And it's tiring, but yeah, I must have done so right in the end, because she eventually got there. But it's heartbreaking when you've got them all tied up, and 10 minutes later they've gone again.
And then there's the
remember cursing them regularly.
I can say, and then there's the thing that you've been left alone again.
Oh, you were just left there. You just—that's when everybody got to turn on the guns, because nearly all the gunners, I think all the gunners, with the exception of one, had already gone into Malta on the other motor launch.
So
we only had half a crew, and we had blokes from the Santa Lisa and Empire Hope and God knows what other ship.
They joined us
on the Ohio. We all went back aboard and all mucked in together. They were all seamen. They knew what they were doing. You'd just think it was a regular crew.
And the any enemy aircraft returned again? Obviously.
Oh, yes.
Did you get a go on the gun once,
yes. Aye. And you fire, like I said before, you're firing traces, and you can follow the traces as you're firing, and you know you're firing towards the aircraft, and you think you see them going into the aircraft, but it flies on past you, so you don't know if it ever comes down or who else fired into it or what.
What were your feelings? Because now, instead of kind of fighting fires and keeping the ship afloat, you're actually doing something towards the enemy, hopefully.
Well, it sort of revived you. You know, it gives you something more positive to do. Keeps you going.
Feeling that you're fighting back.
Yeah. So we were all as pleased to get back on the old ship off HMS Penn. She had about a couple of hundred survivors on the decks, and you couldn't move. And it was more comfortable on our ship, even though it was a wreck, than it was on hers. You just slumped down, sort of thing, and had a catnap the hour we were there or so. But we had more comfort aboard our own ship than we had aboard there. We were pleased to get back.
Were you hit again?
With near misses all the time. Almost lifting you out of the water.
What state was the vessel in now?
Our decks were buckling, the main deck. The main deck where the torpedo hit was already lifted, and the Samson post was askew from the upright, and you could see the ripple in the decks. They weren't broke, but they were rippled. They said it would have been welded construction. If she'd have been riveted, they think the rivets would have sprung and the plates would have opened up. But across the main deck, three quarters of the way across the main deck, seemed to be
rippled. In effect.
Almost impossible when you look at it.
And the fires themselves, were they out?
Oh, they have all the fires. There's no fire at all.
Was she smoking a bit?
No, there was no smoke off it. Once the fire was out, it was out. The only smoke we got was when the aircraft landed on the decks. The one bounced onto the foredeck. And there was smoke and rubbish and debris. And then we had another one crashed down the side of us. And half of it fell back onto the main deck. And there was smoke and rubbish coming off that. But that was the only time we had any more fire aboard.
When did this occur? This is after, this occurred
after what we're talking about now, when we went back aboard. Aye, one bounced off the...
Were these enemy aircraft?
Enemy aircraft, aye. Both German, I think they were. But there was bullets and stuff hissing all around the deck and all sorts of debris, you know.
Had these two been hit and come down on you?
Yes, they'd been hit. Yes. Our gunners said they hit one, the one that came down on the foredeck, because it was coming towards us. And what had happened is it come down on the water and sort of pancaked and then just landed on the foredeck.
And did, was anyone injured?
No.
Other than the German pilot, obviously.
None of our lads was injured. None of our crew and none of the other lads that came to give us a hand.
And the German himself, did you see him?
I didn't see him, no. Never saw him.
So he was the first one down, and when did the next one come?
It was about an hour later, the one came down, straight down, and flopped over onto the main deck. Because Gray rang the skipper up and said, "We've got an aeroplane on the deck," and the skipper said, "We've had one up on the foredeck for an hour." But we didn't know what was happening in the foredeck because of the bridge, you know. And of course they didn't know what was happening to us either.
And again, were there any casualties caused by the crash?
No casualties at all on board.
They must have been quite a shock to you when they arrived, because you wouldn't know they were going to hit until
they
did. Oh
no, you didn't know. It was just there, you know. You were on the port quarter, and the plane on the main deck where we were on the after deck landed on the starboard side, and somebody had to tell us that the plane had landed. We didn't know, we were busy on the port side. So you're like being on two different ships sometimes, on the foredeck and the after deck. You couldn't tell what was happening because there was nobody telling you. You hadn't time to tell one another what was happening. You learn all about it later.
So you're being obviously under severe air attack again.
Yeah.
Had any submarines appeared again at this point?
Submarines had appeared apparently, but we were too busy.
And they hadn't bothered you?
No, never bothered us again, fortunately.
So with the three destroyers away from you, you were, as you say, you on your own in a sense. And what were you doing then?
Waiting them coming back and just keeping your eye on things, you know. Most times when they broke away, it was air raids anyway, which kept.